please open your Bibles to Luke 10, 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. So now we're in the living room. And what do you think of when you think of your living room? Yes. There's a lot of things that I thought of when I first started studying this, but the Lord pinpointed four specific things that we're going to spend time looking at. Number one, it's a place of rest where we can kick up our feet and relax. Number two, it's a place for hospitality. Number three, it's a place where the family gathers. And number four, it's a place for entertainment. Sorry. So we're going to look at the two famous sisters, Martha and Mary, and we're going to look at their different characteristics and apply those to the different aspects of the living rooms of our hearts and our homes. So please follow along as I read. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." So we know Martha and Mary were sisters, and they had a brother named Lazarus. These three siblings lived together in a small village of in Bethany. And in Jesus' ministry, we see him and his disciples traveling from one place to another, but never going to a home of his own. He didn't have his own home. Instead, he and his disciples would be invited by different people to stay at their homes. And this family's home seems to be a regular stop for him. The Lord shows us in his word that hospitality is something we need to have and practice as believers. Jenna shared about that also. 1 Peter 4:8-9 says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling." Romans 12:9-10 says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor giving preference to one another." And then down to verse 13, it says, "Distributing to the needs of the saints given to hospitality." In both these scriptures on hospitality, I find it interesting that we see the exhortation to love one another and then the exhortation to be hospitable to one another. Or to love one another and extending hospitality to others is a way that we can show this brotherly love. So we're going to first take a look at Martha here. And poor Martha is usually looked upon with a bad rap because of the story here in Luke. But we see here that Martha is the one who welcomed Jesus into her home and showed him hospitality. Are we welcoming others into our homes and showing them hospitality? Do we make others feel at home in our living rooms? Relationships and deep friendships are made by extending hospitality to others. I found this to be personally true, as most of our closest friends are those who, you know, they're a new family at church or someone that my husband met at work, and we invite them over, and they become some of our closest and deepest friends. So it's a good thing to do, and we're not told how this family of Martha and Mary and Lazarus became so close to Jesus, but it could have been that they were just some of the few that heard his first teachings, extended him hospitality, and built a relationship with him that way. It obviously developed into a warm and deep personal friendship and fellowship, as we see that Jesus made himself at home in their house. Here's a question that we need to ask ourselves. Are we welcoming Jesus into the living room of our heart? Do we make him feel welcome and at home when we extend that hospitality to him and invite him in? Then we'll also have that deep personal fellowship and sweet relationship with him, just as he had with Martha and Mary and Lazarus. I just have this feeling that as close as Jesus was to these three siblings, that he felt completely comfortable and at home in their house. And it was truly a place of rest for him. I have this feeling that after the Lord just has spoken to me because the relationship that Martha and Mary had with Jesus was so special. And studying through this and reading it over and over, why am I crying, you know? Reading it to Matthew, and I'm like, oh my gosh, how am I going to get through this? But the Lord's shown me I'm really relating to them as they had this sweet fellowship and relationship with Jesus. And that's where the emotion comes. So I just have this feeling that after a long day of ministry and travel, that he would walk through their front door, sit in their living room, and put his feet up and relax. It was a place of comfort and, you know, just rest for him. So I love my living room for this reason. I'm sorry if this sounds bad. But one of my favorite times of day is when my boys are asleep at night. And I get to sit on my couch and put my feet up. And I veg and call it my downtime and have my bowl of ice cream. So there's nothing like that feeling of just letting everything of the day disappear for that moment and just relax and rest. Jesus says in Matthew 11:28-30, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Just as there's nothing like the feeling of putting our feet up and resting on our couch, there's nothing like the feeling of giving all our burdens to Jesus and entering into the rest that he provides for our souls. Have you been feeling heavy laden? Have you been trying to carry the heavy load of burdens of your life on your shoulders and you feel weary? Jesus is extending an invitation to you. Here he says, "Come to me and I will give you rest." So we see that Martha obviously had a love and a sweet friendship with Jesus. We see that she had the gift of hospitality as she welcomed Jesus into her house and made him feel at home. But of course, we cannot forget why she's forever remembered as the one who is distracted with much serving. So let's look at verse 40 again. "But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" I like what John Corson says on these verses. He says, it's as if Jesus was saying, "Martha, you're fixing all kinds of courses. You're preparing a big meal, but don't you understand? I only want one thing, a simple meal." He goes on to say, "When I began to think on this, it caused me to wonder how often I give people what I want to give rather than what they really want. For example, if you know guests are coming to your house, do you find yourself busy, 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 only to be exhausted when they arrive? People come to simply spend time with us, but we make fancy desserts, vacuum the carpets, wash the windows, mow the lawn, sweep the walks, and by the time they get there, we have a headache and want them to leave." Well, that makes me laugh because it describes me. I'm definitely guilty of this. Everything has to be perfect when we have guests over. So I get in this crazy frenzy trying to make everything perfect, and it starts to affect my mood and attitude towards my family. Matthew will always ask me whenever we have something at our house or friends over, are you going to get in your crazy mood? Because if you are, we're not doing this. And I, of course, want it, you know, at my house. No, no, I won't get in my crazy mood, you know. But because everything has to be perfect, I become like Martha and snap at the kids for making messes or snap at Matthew for not doing what I think he should be doing. So what John Corson says is a good reminder. People don't care if our windows are washed. They care to spend time with us and have sweet fellowship with us. This is what Jesus was trying to explain to Martha as well. Well, think about the living room of our hearts again. Jesus wants to be welcomed in. He wants to be able to sit down on your couch and have sweet fellowship with you and feel at home in your heart. But are we putting him off, not welcoming him to our living room fellowship because our living room is cluttered, dusty, our windows have handprints on them? We can often think that we need to have everything perfect and cleaned up before we can welcome him into our hearts. But that's not what he wants, and we find it right here with Martha and Mary. He's not worried as Martha was to have the perfect meal. He only wanted one thing, for Martha to be at his feet like Mary in worship and fellowship with him. And when we find ourselves at his feet, then he takes care of our messes. So Martha was distracted with much serving, but as we look at the living room of our homes, are we allowing ourselves and our families to be distracted with much? There's a television, movies, video games, books, magazines. Our phones have just taken over us with internet, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all these things. And they can be used for good entertainment. I love in my downtime, that's my favorite thing to do, is sit and watch a Hallmark movie or my favorite show, you know, and that's okay. But are we allowing them to distract us from the Lord? This is when these things can become not so good in our lives. Are we allowing ourselves to watch or read things that are compromising to the Word of God? It's so easy nowadays to become desensitized by the sin that is on television and movies. Every show now has to have a homosexual character on it. Shows are now using curse words that were never allowed on TV before. Sexual content has to be a part of every show. We can easily become desensitized to it and compromise because it's a funny show or because we love to watch a good love story. I'm guilty here too. Anyways. I don't know why. This isn't the part that I'm supposed to cry at. Anyways, we have DVRs now, and I love my DVR because you can record things even for the kids and not have to watch the yucky commercials, too, that are on, you know. But the Lord has shown me, like, we recently have a conversation. My mom likes to watch TV, too. We always, are you watching this? Are you watching this? And there was one show last year that I love, like CIA kind of spy type things. And I said, Mom, did you watch that or were you watching that? And she's like, Megan, that first episode had a horrible sex scene and I had to turn it off, you know. I'm like, it did? I'm like, oh, well, we must have just fast-forwarded through it, you know, because that's what, oh, I'll just fast-forward through it. It's a good show, you know. But that's what the Lord's convicted me on. It's not okay. That's compromising in what we watch because we can just fast forward past that love scene. So the Lord's showing me I'm still partaking in and supporting what is compromising to the Word of God. I think this is an area in a lot of our lives that we let go and allow because we like to be entertained. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 1 through 17. It's kind of long, but I had to get half an hour in. So <Just kidding. laughs> Ephesians chapter 5. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that nor fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So remember, we need to make Jesus feel at home in our living rooms. There's a lot here, but I think these scriptures make it clear that we're not to be partakers of the sin and darkness that our entertainment can offer us, but be wise in the things that we choose to fill our minds with and walk as children of light. Look at verse 16. It says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Ladies, the days are evil. The Lord's coming back any time. Redeem the time. Turn the TV off, the video games, the phones, and gather your family into the living room for family devotions. Read the word together and pray together. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Are we teaching our children to read God's word? Are we teaching them to pray? Family devotions is the best way to show them that. Read the word together. Take turns praying so that they can be trained up to do that on their own. One of the sweetest things and brings such joy to my heart is hearing my boys pray. Yes. You know, I have 4, 7, and 9-year-old, and of course the 4-year-old is, you know, basic and just, you know, learning, and my 9-year-old now, it just amazes me that what comes out of his mouth, you know? And that's just the training and the, you know, spending time praying and him, you know, them seeing you pray and just making it important, you know, in their lives. And it really is amazing how a little 9-year-old can have, you know, the Spirit working in his heart and coming out of him. So gather your family in that living room for family devotions. Make it a priority. It's so important. Even if you don't have kids, you know, you and your husband, if you're single, you and Jesus. gather your family in that living room, play games. You know, you can watch a good movie with them with popcorn and just spend that quality time. Put away those phones. I've just, you know, it is such a distraction. And so my boys like their tablets and my husband likes his games on the phone. And, you know, it just, we can be so distracted by those things and waste time, you know. So, again, it's okay to be entertained by these things if it's not compromising to God's word. But if we're not putting the Lord first and instead filling our time with the things of this world rather than him, how do we expect to be able to walk in the light? It's so important that we redeem the time and edify and build each other up. Let's turn to Psalm 101, verse 2. Jenna mentioned this verse too, and it is funny how all of us haven't shared our studies with each other, but have the same verses and stories and things. So Psalm 101, verse 2 through 4 says, I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. King David wrote this psalm, and he's longing for God to come and find him living in this upright way. He's determined to walk in integrity of heart within his house. This should be our heart for ourselves and family when it comes to what we're allowing in our living rooms. So, sorry. We've looked at Martha a bit, so now let's take a look at Mary. We read in Luke that Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word, and that Jesus had said that Mary chose the good part, which will not be taken away from her. We're going to take a look at another story of Mary, where we find her at the feet of Jesus again. So let's turn to John chapter 12, verse 1. It says, in 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, from whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. We find this same story in Matthew 26 and Mark 14. And in these accounts, we find out that they're actually not at Martha and Mary's house. They're at Simon the leper's house in Bethany. But I find it interesting that Martha here is still serving. You know, it's not even her house and she's here serving. But we don't see her grumbling and complaining here. So it looks like she took heed to what Jesus shared with her and had a change of heart. This took place shortly after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. So this could have been a gathering of celebration or an act of gratitude toward Jesus as they made him a supper. So here they're together again, and what do we see Mary do? She took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Mary took something very costly to her. In verse 5, Judas says that they could have sold it for 300 denarii, which was about 1 year's wages for a worker. Mary was a true worshiper of Jesus and showed her love to him by pouring this fragrant oil on him. Not everyone agreed with this. Judas thought it was such a waste. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. I found it interesting as I was studying this passage to realize that we found Mary always at Jesus' feet worshiping him and listening to his words. And Jesus is saying here, you will not always have me. Within the week, I'm going to be crucified and I'll no longer be with you guys. His own disciples still didn't truly grasp this, but Mary understood this. Why? Because she had been at his feet, close to him, and listening to him every chance she had. So she knew and realized he was not going to be there in the tomb to anoint his body. He was going to be resurrected. So she used her oil to anoint him before his burial as an act of worship and love to him. So I looked up spikenard. is from a flowering plant of the valerian family that grows in the Himalayas of Nepal, China, and India. Its underground stems can be crushed and distilled into an intensely aromatic, amber-colored essential oil, which is very thick in consistency. So we have the same story found in Matthew and Mark, and there they said that she poured it on his head. So as she poured this intense and thick aromatic oil on his head, we can imagine it running down his body. To his feet, and she used it to anoint his feet and wiped it with her hair. So what does her hair now smell like? Her Savior. When we're worshiping the Lord, we take on the fragrance of the Lord. The end of verse 3 says the house was filled with the fragrance of oil. That fragrance that the house was filled with was the fragrance of Mary's love for her Lord and Savior. What do we often do when we're having company? We light our fragrant candle in our living room so that our house is filled with a sweet-smelling aroma and not a stink that might offend our guests. When I think of the living room in our homes, the hospitality, the entertainment, the gathering of friends and family, I think of the center and the life of the home. What brings life? The heart. And who is the heart of the home? The woman. As wives and moms, we often set the tone of our homes. There's that saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So what kind of tone or fragrance are we leaving behind in our homes and hearts? It's nice to be able to sit on our couch and relax and let down our guards in the comfort of our homes, but be careful that the guards of our flesh are not going down also. Are we a breath of fresh air, or do we stink and offend people? Do our families and others feel like they're stepping on eggshells around us? Are we worshiping Jesus like we should be? Are we spending time at his feet, listening to his word? If we are, then we'll take on the fragrance of the Lord just as Mary did by wiping his feet with her hair. And that fragrance didn't just get on Mary's hair, but it filled the house. We can be like Martha earlier in the story, complaining and being bitter and making a stink to those around her. Or we can be like Mary, who took advantage of the time she had with Jesus and sat at his feet. It all comes down to our hearts. If we're redeeming the time and spending time in sweet fellowship with Jesus, making him home in our living rooms and our hearts, then worship is just going to flow out. The love and hospitality toward others is going to flow out. Choosing to not partake in darkness, but being a light is going to flow out, and a sweet-smelling aroma is going to flow out, and it will attract others to our Savior. Let's close by reading Psalm 95. Verse 6 through 11. Starting at verse 6, it says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. As in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath they shall not enter my rest. So ladies, let's not be like the children of Israel here who went astray in their hearts and did not get to enter into his rest. Let's worship and bow down and kneel before our Savior as Mary did. And may the living room of our heart and home leave behind the fragrance of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we just come before you and just thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. And Lord, we just want you to be the center of our living rooms, of our hearts and our homes, Lord. So Lord, just please help us, Lord, and help us to be like Mary and just kneel at your feet and worship you and have that sweet fellowship with you, Father. And Lord, I do pray that we would just have that fragrance of you, Lord, and would attract others to you, Father, and be that example in our homes and our families, Father. And we just pray that you would just pour out your spirit on the rest of this retreat and be with Betty as she comes up and speaks, Lord, and just speak through her, anoint her, Father, and Patty too later on, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.